All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're going deep on something super important in property law: easement abandonment.
Yeah, that's right.
Now this is especially for all you law students out there. This is a big one because we're talking about how property rights can just disappear
permanently,
gone, and not through some like formal sale or anything.
Right, not a deed transfer.
It's more about this use it or lose it idea.
Exactly.
And get that sometimes you can even lose it if you didn't even know you had it.
Yeah.
Wild, right?
And that's where our case today comes in: Graves v. Dennis. A South Dakota Supreme Court case that really shows how judges decide if an easement's been abandoned just based on, you know, what happened on the actual property.
Graves v. Dennis. Okay. So what's the big takeaway here? What makes this case so important for understanding how property law actually works?
Well, Graves v. Dennis basically shows us that doing stuff on your land matters way more than just saying stuff or even not knowing stuff. It's like actions speak louder than words, you know. Or even louder than just being clueless. The law really cares about how land is actually used, and that can change who has what rights, sometimes even if the owner didn't realize they had those rights in the first place.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's set the scene here. What exactly happened in this case?
All right, so picture this. It's the late 70s. We've got the Blenners. They own a piece of land. In 78, they create an easement, basically giving someone the right to use part of their land for a specific purpose. In this case, it was for access to a road called Pine Tree Drive.
Okay.
Then, get this, in 1981, they create another easement, a second one.
Two easements.
Yep, also for getting to Pine Tree Drive. But here's the catch. That first easement from 78, it never got used. Not once. Like two paths, but only one ever got walked on.
So one easement, just sitting there unused, that seems like a pretty important detail.
You got it. Now fast forward to 1982. Enter the Graves. They buy the Blenners' property. But there's another twist. They had no clue about that 1978 easement. Zero knowledge. So they buy this land totally unaware of this unused potential access route.
They're completely in the dark about it. So how can you abandon something you don't even know you have? It's like, how do you give up something you never knew you were holding?
That's a good question. And that's actually a big part of what the court had to figure out later on. But let's keep going with the story. A neighbor of the Graves, a guy named Vaughn, decides to build a garage. And where does he go put it? Right smack dab on top of that unused 1978 easement. And to top it off, the Graves didn't say a peep about it.
So they just let him build this huge permanent structure right on the strip of land without realizing it was tied to this potential easement. I mean, that could have affected their own property or their neighbors, right?
Yep, exactly. Now zoom ahead to 2002. Thomas and Carla sue Dennis, buy Vaughn's property, garage and all. This new ownership leads to, well, neighborly disagreements with the Graves. But hold on, these fights weren't about the 1978 easement at all. Nope. It was all about the 1981 easement, the one they actually used. The Dennis weren't happy with how fast the Graves were driving on it. They even put in speed bumps to try to slow them down.
So, typical neighbor drama. Fighting over how an easement is being used, is that what kicked off the legal battle?
You got it. The Graves went to court because of those speed bumps and a retaining wall that the Dennis had also built. And get this, it was during this whole court thing almost 25 years later that the 1978 easement even came up. Imagine that. A lawsuit about speed bumps unearths this hidden, forgotten property right from decades ago.
Whoa. Talk about a plot twist. So we've got a dispute over speed bumps that suddenly brings this old easement back from the dead. That's how this whole legal drama starts, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did the first court decide?
So the trial court sided with the Graves about the 1981 easement, told the Dennis to get rid of the speed bumps and the retaining wall. But, and this is a big but, they also said that the 1978 easement was gone. Abandoned. Done.
Abandoned. Even though the Graves said they didn't know about it, seems like that's the heart of the legal question the higher court had to grapple with, right?
Exactly. The appeals court really honed in on this. Did using only the 1981 easement and never touching the 1978 one mean that the old easement was legally abandoned?
So they needed to figure out, like, the legal checklist for proving abandonment in a tricky case like this. What's the rule the South Dakota Supreme Court used to make its decision?
Well, they laid out a two-part test. First, you got to have exclusive use of the new right-of-way, the 1981 easement in this case.
Right.
Second, you got to have non-use of the old right-of-way, the 1978 one. So the court's looking for both using the new path and completely ignoring the old one.
Okay, that makes sense. But you said earlier that actions matter more than just not using something. So was there anything else the court considered?
Oh, absolutely. They also looked at, quote, acts inconsistent with the easement's existence. Remember the garage Zahn built right on top of the 1978 easement?
Yeah.
That's a pretty clear sign someone isn't planning on using that land as a pathway anymore. It's not just about not walking there. It's about allowing something to be built that makes it impossible to walk there.
Right. So not just passively ignoring it, but actually doing something that blocks it off.
Hmm.
How did the court apply all of this to what happened in Graves v. Dennis?
Well, they started with the Blenners. They made that 1981 easement and then boom, never touched the 78 one again. That sets up a pattern.
Right.
Then the Graves come along and do the same thing for over 20 years, using only the 1981 easement, never the 78.
So all that time, no one used the old easement. That must have been a big factor in the court's thinking.
Oh, for sure. But they didn't just stop there. They also put a lot of emphasis on the fact that the Graves let Vaughn build that garage, a permanent roadblock, literally right on the 1978 easement.
So even though the Graves said, hey, we didn't know about this easement, the fact that they just let that garage sit there for so long, that was a big deal for the court.
Huge. The court basically said, look, we can tell you intended to abandon this easement based on what you did or didn't do. They didn't need a signed paper or anything. The fact that no one used that easement for years and that there was a giant garage blocking it, that told the whole story. They even cited the restatement third of property, which for our law student listeners is like the ultimate guide to property law. It talks about actions that are incompatible with the servitude's existence. Mm-hmm. And parking a garage on your easement, yeah, that pretty much qualifies.
Right. Makes sense. It's like the land itself was screaming, this easement is dead.
Yeah.
Even if the owners didn't realize it. You also mentioned that because they didn't use it for so long, they didn't need to provide as much proof of intent. What does that mean?
So typically just not using an easement for a bit. That's not enough to call it abandoned. But the longer you go without using it, the less extra evidence you need to show you meant to ditch it. Especially when you add in other actions like that garage. Here, neither the Blenners nor the Graves touched that 78 easement for like 25 years. That's a long time. Coupled with the garage, that pretty much sealed the deal that the easement was abandoned.
Okay, let's circle back to the Graves saying, we didn't know. We had no idea about this easement. How did they argue that in court, and what did the court say?
Well, their argument was pretty simple. They said, look, how can we abandon something we didn't even know existed? I mean, it makes sense, right?
Yeah, it does seem like to abandon something, you have to, like, actively decide to get rid of it. And you can't really do that if you don't even know you have it.
That's the common sense take.
Yeah.
But the court made a really interesting point. They said, when it comes to easements, we're not focusing on what's going on in your head. We're focusing on what you're doing, on the actions you're taking. It's less about your inner thoughts and more about the cold, hard facts of how you're treating the land.
Huh. So it's not about what you know, but about what you do.
Right. They say the Graves' actions, specifically not stopping that garage from going up and just letting it sit there all those years.
Yeah.
Those actions were objectively inconsistent with the easement still existing, whether or not they knew about it personally. It's almost like the law in this case cares more about what happened on the land than what someone knew in their own mind. Kind of a weird thought, right?
It is. So Graves v. Dennis, big case, obviously. Why does this matter so much for easement law as a whole?
Well, it lays out really clearly how you can prove easement abandonment just by looking at the circumstances. That's super practical, especially in cases where there's no official I abandon this easement document. And it really drives home the point that how you treat your property has huge legal consequences, especially when it comes to easements, even if you're not doing it on purpose. For you future lawyers out there, this case is a goldmine for understanding how the law looks at actions, patterns, and the physical reality on the ground.
So what's the big takeaway for property owners or for the lawyers advising them? What can they learn from Graves v. Dennis?
The big lesson is, know your property rights. That includes any easements you have, whether you granted them or someone granted them to you. If you have an easement, use it. And if anyone tries to mess with it, block it, or build on it, speak up. Even if it seems like a small thing. Because like Graves v. Dennis shows us, if you let those things slide, you could lose that easement forever.
Wow. Ignorance isn't bliss when it comes to property law. Are there any other little details or wrinkles about easement abandonment that come out of this case?
Oh, definitely. First, keep in mind that just not using an easement, not enough to prove abandonment. Usually you need to be using a new path instead. And you need to have done something that shows the old easement is useless, like building on it. Second, time matters. The longer you go without using it, the stronger the case for abandonment. And lastly, for our lawyer friends, make sure your clients document when and how they're using their easements. and tell them to deal with any encroachments immediately, no matter how small they seem. Don't let them lose those rights just because they didn't take action.
Okay, so just to sum up Graves v. Dennis, you can abandon an easement even if you didn't mean to, just by not using it and doing stuff that contradicts its purpose. And the court really focuses on what you actually do, not what you say or even what you know.
That's the gist of it. Property rights are a lot more than just words on paper.
Yeah, it's all about how you use the land, how you treat it, real world stuff. So thinking about how much emphasis the court put on actions in Graves v. Dennis, what could a property owner do to really make sure their easements are safe? What habits should they have? What kind of records should they keep? It seems like this case is a wake-up call to be extra careful.
Yeah, great point. Being proactive is key. Regularly check your easements, keep records of when you use them, and if anyone starts encroaching, deal with it right away. It's the best way to protect those rights.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive into Graves v. Dennis and the whole world of easement abandonment. Thanks for breaking it down for us. Law students, remember this case. Until next time on The Deep Dive.
See you then.